Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, September 6th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Viper makes $1 billion acquisition of mineral royalty interests. Viper Energy Partners is a subsidiary of Diamondback Energy. By Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. Diamondback Energy has made headlines in the last year with its acquisition of Firebird Energy and Lario Permian for a combined $3 billion. The headlines this week belong to its subsidiary, Viper Energy Partners, which is acquiring certain mineral and royalty interests from affiliates of Warwick Capital Partners and GRP Energy Capital for $1 billion. The deal includes approximately 4,600 net royalty acres in the Permian Basin, plus an additional 2,700 net royalty acres in other major basins. While the Permian acreage represents just over 60% of the total acreage, those assets represent over 90% of current production and total deal value. Viper remains focused on acquiring high-quality Permian assets that can contribute both meaningful existing production as well as a long-term runway for potential future development, Travis Stice, Chief Executive Officer of Viper's General Partners, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Approximately 2,800 net royalty acres are in the Midland Basin, with roughly 60% located in Midland and Martin counties. Approximately 1,800 net acres are in the Delaware Basin, with two-thirds in Reeves and Loving counties. There are a combined 21 rigs in operation on both the Midland and Delaware Basin acreage. Post-acquisition, Viper will integrate the new assets into its portfolio and use the enhanced cash flow profile resulting from the acquisition to return increasing amounts of capital to unit holders, Stice wrote. He is enthusiastic about the deal, telling the Reporter Telegram, it moves Viper forward in providing an unparalleled runway for future production growth, as it contributes a significant amount of underdeveloped acreage, primarily in the northern Midland Basin, and under active operators such as Pioneer Natural Resources, Endeavor Energy Resources, and Diamondback. The assets include current production of approximately 4,000 barrels of oil, 7,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, which is expected to increase to about 4,750 barrels of oil or 8,500 BOE per day for the full year 2024. Viper was formed by Diamondback to own, acquire, and exploit oil and natural gas properties in North America, with a focus on owning and acquiring mineral and royalty interests. Stice described the mineral and royalties market as highly competitive in terms of acquisitions, but also still highly fragmented. Another way this deal moves Viper forward is that it further positions Viper as a key player in the future consolidation of the private minerals market. This article is entitled, Chevron Buys Land for Possible New R&D Facility Outside Houston, by Kevin Crowley, Bloomberg. Chevron Corporation bought a plot of land the size of almost 60 football fields just outside of Houston in preparation for what could become a new research and development campus. The 77-acre plot is part of the Bridgeland residential and commercial development being built by Howard Hughes Holdings, Inc. in Cyprus, about 33 miles from downtown Houston, the company said in a statement Tuesday. Chevron said its existing locations, including its headquarters in San Ramon, California, and its office complex in central Houston, its biggest globally, will continue business as usual. Chevron has dramatically expanded operations in Texas in recent years, chiefly due to oil production growth in the Permian Basin, which now makes up a quarter of the company's global output. Last year, Chevron announced plans to downsize its headquarters in the San Francisco Bay Area and gave employees the option of moving to Houston, where it has about 7,000 employees and contractors in locations including a downtown skyscraper formerly occupied by Enron Corporation. The potential research and development facility would provide office and laboratory research space to enable new capabilities and provide flexibility for future activities, Chevron said in a statement. This article is entitled Midland College Pre-K Academy Grand Opening, set for September 12th, by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. Midland College will celebrate the grand opening of the new Pre-K Academy and Center for Teaching Excellence at 6 p.m. on September 12th, according to a press release from the college. The new two-story, 60,000-square-foot Pre-K Academy and Center for Teaching Excellence is located across from Chaparral Center. In August 2019, Midland College and Midland ISD partnered to start the Midland College Pre-K In-District Charter School with 68 students, the press release states. Despite the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, the academy was a success, so much so that community leaders approached Midland College officials about expanding the capacity. The Midland College Pre-K Academy partnership between Midland College and Midland ISD allows us to merge our resources and build upon a pillar of our strategic plan to enhance the student experience by creating a unique learning environment that will set a new standard for early education in our region, Stephanie Howard, MISD superintendent, said in a press release. We are excited for the academy to be able to offer 5 3-year-old classes this year for a total of 85 seats and 5 4-year-old classes for a total of 100 seats. This increase of 51 and 66 seats respectively from last year will allow us to serve even more of Midland's youngest learners. Currently, we are only able to serve 5% of eligible 3-year-old students in Midland, and we look forward to the future when even more seats are made available. The first floor of the new academy, according to the college, includes classrooms, cafeteria, and other areas for preschool students. The second floor contains classrooms and offices for the college's Bachelor of Applied Sciences in Early Childhood Education and Associate of Arts in Teaching programs. The press release says that Midland College students who complete the baccalaureate-level program in early childhood education and obtain the Texas Teacher Certification EC3 will fill a critical gap in Midland ISD's and the surrounding area's teaching pipelines. This initiative creates a model for combined teacher preparation and early childhood education, two areas of great need in our region and priorities for the Permian Strategic Partnership. Tracy Bentley, President and CEO of Permian Strategic Partnership, said, "This is a first-of-its-kind program at a community college, and we have the opportunity to set the standard for others in our region and beyond." The Permian Strategic Partnership is honored to partner with Midland College and all the funding partners who have helped to make this vision a reality. This article is entitled, MISD Won't Join TEA Lawsuit at This Time, Howard doesn't see the district joining the lawsuit challenging accountability ratings. By Stuart Doreen, staff writer. Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard stated she does not recommend at this time that the district join litigation against the Texas Education Agency challenging lack of transparency in the calculation of school district accountability ratings. As of last week, the Texan news site showed districts joining the lawsuit included Pecos Barstow Toya ISD and Fort Stockton ISD. On Tuesday night, the Ector County ISD School Board was scheduled to decide if it would follow suit. Howard wrote the following about the lawsuit in an email. Our team has joined in some meetings and updates to learn more about the pending litigation the past few weeks. At this time, I do not recommend Midland ISD join the suit. Not that I don't agree with the claims around lack of transparency and lack of clearly defined expectations, because I certainly do. We have played the game and are still waiting on all the rules to be made to finalize accountability ratings. As a district with much work to do related to improving student outcomes, I believe our time, energy, and resources are better used working on instruction, coaching our teachers, and monitoring student progress. Radio station KUT out of Austin reported in an online article that 7 Texas school districts originally filed a lawsuit on August 24th, challenging state education officials' rollout of changes to the A to F accountability system. The report added that Texas Education Commissioner Mike Morath is named as the defendant, and that Nick Maddox, a lawyer representing the plaintiffs, said there is a lot at stake for school districts that do not get good grades. Last year, the TEA gave Midland ISD a B grade, and 13 campuses received an A or B. It was the district's best report card in around 2 decades. School officials have been apprehensive about what the so-called STAR 2.0 will mean to specific campuses. There are expectations across the state that grades will be lower when they come out later this month. This article is entitled, NWS Reports 53rd 100-Degree High Temperature in 2023, by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. For the second straight day, a high temperature record was tied at Midland International Airport. The National Weather Service reported a high temperature Tuesday of 104 degrees, which broke the record for September 5th, set previously in 1984 and tied in 1988. The high temperature is the second of 6 straight 100-degree high temperatures that the National Weather Service expects in Midland. The NWS reported that the triple-digit high temperature was the 53rd in 2023, or the second most in a year in Midland's history. Tuesday's report. Tuesday's high, 105 degrees, a record. Typical high for September 5th, 90 degrees. Tuesday's low, 77 degrees. Typical low for September 5th, 68 degrees. Previous record high for September 5th, 104 degrees, set in 1984 and tied in 1988. Last 3 days. Sunday, 99 degrees. Monday, 101 degrees. Tuesday, 105 degrees. Next 3 days. Wednesday, 101 degrees. Thursday, 100 degrees. Friday, 101 degrees. Most 100 degree days in Midland. 2011, 65 days. 2023, 53 days. 1964, 52 days. 1998, 51 days. Source of this article, the National Weather Service. This article is entitled, Odessa's Operation Key results in 31 arrests. By Mercedes Cordero, staff writer. Operation Key, a Labor Day weekend operation in Odessa, resulted in 31 DWI arrests, according to Odessa Police Department. Along with the 31 DWI arrests, OPD reported 5 felony arrests. The 3-day operation was a multi-agency enforcement effort that aimed to reduce DWI-related traffic crashes in the area. The Odessa Police Department, along with the Texas Department of Public Safety, Ector County ISD Police Department, UTPB University Police Department, Medical Center Hospital's Key Program, and the Ector County District Attorney's Office, enforced a no-refusal weekend. This operation could not have been completed without the cooperation of the listed agencies, and OPD would like to thank all of them for their hard work to help make our streets safer, OPD said in a statement. This article is entitled, Pump Prices in U.S. Hit Highest Seasonal Level in Over a Decade, by Chunzi Zhu, Bloomberg. Gasoline prices are now at the highest seasonal level in more than a decade, even as the Labor Day holiday marked the end of the U.S. summer driving season, sparking fears that inflation could accelerate again in a challenge to President Joe Biden's re-election efforts. The national average for regular gasoline stands at $3.811 a gallon, topping this time last year and marking the second highest level in records going back to 1994 from the American Automobile Association. The move comes in a period when prices typically decline going into fall and is a U-turn after a relatively cheap summer for driving. Relief at the pump is complicated by a resurgence in the cost of oil, with Brent futures topping $90 a barrel on Tuesday after Saudi Arabia and Russia extended production cuts that have already tightened global supply. Both the global benchmark and West Texas Intermediate futures are at the highest level since November. Expensive fuel poses a risk to Biden, as it's one of the most visible signs of inflation. The president is, quote, doing everything within his toolkit to be able to get lower prices for consumers at the gas pump, unquote, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said at a White House briefing Tuesday, adding that gasoline prices are, quote, an ultimate metric for success. Last year, in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the Biden administration resorted to selling an unprecedented amount of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve when record pump prices helped push inflation to a 40-year high. Now, the administration is in the process of buying back crude to refill the emergency caverns, which have drained close to their lowest level in 4 decades. Fuel markets have also been squeezed, with U.S. national stockpiles staying largely below seasonal norms since around mid-July. Supply is unlikely to rebuild soon, with refineries entering the fall maintenance season. But the decline in demand should provide some balance. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled, Saudis, Russia, Extend Oil Cuts to Year End, by Grant Smith, Bloomberg. Saudi Arabia and Russia prolonged their unilateral oil supply cuts by another 3 months, a more aggressive move than traders had been expecting, as the OPEC Plus members seek to support a fragile global market. The leader of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries will continue its production cutback of 1 million barrels a day until December, according to a statement published by the state Saudi press agency on Tuesday. The move will hold output at about 9 million barrels a day, the lowest level in several years, for 6 months in total. Russia's export reduction of 300,000 barrels a day will be extended for the same duration, Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak said in a separate statement. The voluntary cut decision will be reviewed monthly to consider deepening the cut or increasing production, according to the statement published by SPA. Saudi Arabia is aiming to support the stability and balance of oil markets. Global crude markets are tightening as demand climbs toward record levels, and summer's price rally has resumed, despite mounting concern over economic growth in China. The move by Riyadh and Moscow exceeded market expectations for an extension of just one additional month, sending Brent crude, the international benchmark, up by 1.54% to $90.37 a barrel as of 2:38 p.m. in London. The Saudis introduced their additional supply cut in July, deepening reductions already made with partners in the OPEC Plus alliance. With most members of the coalition already suffering output losses due to underinvestment and operational disruptions, Riyadh opted to make a largely solo initiative to support prices. Major consuming nations have criticized the kingdom and its partners for the intervention, just as global fuel demand is climbing toward record levels and inventories are depleting. A renewed inflationary spike would squeeze consumers and endanger the recovery, they warn. Defending the market has come at a cost for the Saudis. The kingdom suffered the sharpest downgrade to economic growth projections by the International Monetary Fund because of the sales volumes it is losing. Yet, this appears to be an acceptable price for the kingdom, which may need oil at almost $100 a barrel to cover the ambitious spending projects of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, according to Bloomberg Economics. There is no sign that Saudi Arabia will shift away from its current price-over-volume strategy, said Bjarne Schildrop, chief commodities analyst at SEB AB. Price-over-volume is the name of the game. This column is called Small Bites. It is entitled, Skip the Starbucks Line. Here are 11 local coffee shops to try in Midland, Odessa, by Morgan Taylor Thomas, staff writer. Bites at the Vineyard, 6301 Holiday Hill Road, Suite 21. In February, the Vineyard Office Park restaurant started offering specialty espresso beverages and coffee cake. Other coffee items consist of frappes and iced or hot coffee. The breakfast menu includes avocado toast, sandwiches, and more. Open 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. Chiaro Coffee Company, 4041 Maple Avenue, Odessa. The trolley car parked in an Odessa neighborhood features coffee and espresso basics, macchiato, cappuccino, etc., signature and seasonal espresso drinks such as Mystery Drink, the Aladdin, teas and lattes, Italian sodas, hot chocolate, and more. The owners also offer pastries and kolaches from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wednesday through Friday and 8 a.m. to noon Saturday. Far West Coffee, 2400 West Cuthbert Avenue. This 5-year-old hotspot remains high on the list for many Midlanders looking for a delicious morning brew. From organic and energizing teas and to matcha and cold brew, FWC serves something to fit everyone's needs. They also offer a handful of breakfast items which tend to sell out fast. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. The Fuel Bar, 610 North Big Spring Street, Suite B. For my downtown crowd, the Fuel Bar, known for its acai bowls and smoothies, served an array of coffee drinks, house espresso shots, latte, mocha, Vietnamese cold brew, CBD infused, and more. 6:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. The Grain, 4511 North Midkiff Road. Although coffee is not the star of this menu, both lattes and hot coffee can be found at The Grain. Flavors include vanilla, mocha, and caramel, and are made using Skinny Syrups, a zero-calorie, zero-sugar syrup brand. 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 1 to 6 p.m. Sunday. The Grind, 1307 North Loop 250, Suite A7. Fairly new to town, this Korean coffee and dessert shop has won the hearts of many community members, resulting in A-plus reviews and recommendations. Matcha and other Asian-influenced drinks make the menu, along with simplistic choices like vanilla coffees and more. 6:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Hand Cafe, 500 Briarwood Avenue, Suite 105. Guests can find Marfa's Big Bend coffee roasters here in the Tall City at Hand Cafe. Served in either a 16 or 20-ounce cup, all drinks are $8 or less. All drinks can also be made decaf, iced, or adult style with a Kahlua Java mixer. Gluten-free and gluten-filled bakery items can also be found. 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Higher Ground Coffee Shop, 403 Andrews Highway. Specialty drinks, espresso, coffee, tea, just a few of the headers found on the Higher Ground menu. The shop even offers a $5 bottomless cup for patrons who enjoy working from coffee shops. Breakfast includes French toast in a mug, smoothie bowls, oatmeal energy bites, and much more. 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday and Tuesday, 6:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. Nitro Espresso, 3303 West Illinois Avenue, Suite 16. Previously known as Blue Moose, this drive-up coffee trailer offers more than 30 morning drinks. Guests can add their own flavors, sugar-free available, milk and creamers to any drink, as well as build their own. Hot drinks come in an 8, 12, 16, or 20-ounce cup, and cold comes in a 12, 16, or 24-ounce cup. 6 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturday. Press Cafe, 4400 Park Sligado Road. For West Texans traveling between Midland or Odessa, or even those wanting to explore outside of city limits, the Press Cafe, located inside the Park Sligado Sewell Ford Lincoln dealership, offers a hefty menu. Classic coffee drinks, teas, milkshakes, smoothies, and bowls can be enjoyed alongside a toast bar and other delicious food options. 7 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Sip House, 303 West Wall Street, Basement. At the end of August, the coffee house opened for the morning shift at beloved downtown bar Sip House. Macchiatos, chai lattes, cappuccinos, Americanos, and more are served along with freshly baked pastries and avocado toast. 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., Monday through Friday. This article is entitled, Summer 2023 is Second Warmest, Second Driest in Midland History by Stuart Doreen, staff writer. The summer of 2023 in Midland will go down as the second warmest and second driest in the city's history, according to information from the National Weather Service. The NWS reported that Midland's average temperature, the average between the high and low temperatures, during the summer months, listed as June, July, and August, was 86.6 degrees, which is 3.2 degrees above normal for a Midland summer, and warmer than any summer in the city's recorded history, except for 2011. The NWS reports the new five warmest summers are now 2011, 87.6 degrees, 2023, 86.6 degrees, 1964, 85.8 degrees, 2018, 85.3 degrees, and 2020, 85.2 degrees. Average temperatures during the months this summer included 87.5 degrees in both July and August and 84.8 degrees in June. Midland was not only warm, but dry. The National Weather Service reported 0.39 inch of precipitation at Midland International, which was 4.75 inches below normal. Only 1953 had less rainfall, 0.33 inch. Rounding out the top five were 2011, 0.45 inch, 2020, 0.59 inch, and 1983, 0.62 inch. The Climate Prediction Center is not calling for any relief anytime soon. The CPC is calling for a 50 to 60% chance of above average temperatures during the month of September and a 40 to 50% chance of below average rainfall. The CPC's 90-day outlook calls for a 40 to 50% chance for above average temperatures from September through November and typical rainfall for the same 3 months. Other summer weather notables. June 2023 was the sixth warmest June in Midland's history. July 2023 was the second warmest July. August 2023 was the third warmest August. July and August tied for the fifth warmest month, no matter the month, in Midland's history. A new record for consecutive 100-degree days was set from June 15th to the 29th, 15. A new record for 105-degree days in the year was set, 22 through September 4th. This article is entitled Zone Change Approved for Future Retail Store by Mella McEwen, business editor. Plans to construct a retail store at Briarwood Avenue and Avalon Drive moved forward at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting Tuesday. Commissioners unanimously approved a request by Streamline Development Partners for a zone change from CE, Country Estate District, to RR, Regional Retail District, on two lots at the site to facilitate construction of the store. Commissioners also unanimously approved a request by Schumann Surveying for a zone change from PD, Planned District for Housing Development, to SF1, Single Family Dwelling District, in order to build housing at Tejas and Sioux Court. The developer, a custom home builder, has proposed 12 residential lots on the 7.8-acre tract, with the smallest a half-acre lot and the largest a three-quarter-acre lot. The current zoning has underlying zoning of AE, Agricultural Estate District, while also allowing for manufactured homes. The developer wanted to move away from manufactured homes and focus on custom residences. Commissioners also approved two plats to convert two lots into single lots to allow for home construction. A final plat of Hillcrest Acres, to replat two existing lots into one larger lot at Princeton Avenue and Midland Drive was approved. A request by Schumann Engineering for a proposed preliminary plat of two lots into one at Mayberry Street and Terrace Avenue was also approved. This column is called Opinion. It is entitled, Sharing Good Books with Children Makes a Difference, by Patricia Maurer. I love books, especially children's picture books. Recent stories of parents prowling libraries for books considered potentially damaging to children disturb me. I understand age-appropriate, and I'm not a raving liberal with a subversive agenda. My agenda, when picking books to read over and over again to young children, is clear, and I own it. I choose books celebrating well-written language, books lyrical and beautifully illustrated, books woven with threads of kindness, compassion, reverence, and justice. These books can be found, but you must be discriminating, sensitive to opportunities for teachable moments. Four of my favorites, books I read dozens of times to hundreds of children over a half century in schools, meet this objective. When I feel assaulted by the mean-spirited dialogue pervasive in public discourse, books like these champion the power of good books, sensitive books, well-written books, and especially books capturing important life lessons. My shortlist includes four titles, old by publishing standards, but available. I don't know if they are part of our public library's collection, but they, or books like them, should, in my opinion, be the cornerstone of any collection for young children. First, anything written by Bird Baylor, and in particular, Everybody Needs a Rock, published in 1974, Peter Parnall, illustrator, is worth reading and rereading. The text has a uniquely spiritual quality. Baylor shares 10 rules for finding the perfect rock. One line speaks powerfully to the context of contemporary life for children. Some people touch a rock 1,000 times a day. There aren't many things that feel as good as a rock if the rock is perfect. Our children are rushed, and their days are chaotic and loud. Is it any wonder they are seduced in adolescence by ideas and lifestyles chaotic and loud? They never learn to slow down, to think, to appreciate, to hold as reverent what really matters. It is up to us to help children practice, to learn to be quiet, to discover rocks worth holding for a lifetime. Second, Anything by Mem Fox, but a jewel published in 1985, illustrated by Julie Vivas, remains a favorite. Wilfred Gordon MacDonald Partridge is the story of a small boy living with his parents next door to a nursing home. He visits, knows, and appreciates each resident, but his favorite is Miss Nancy Allison Delacourt Cooper, because she has four names just as he does. Wilfred shares secrets with his friend Miss Nancy, and when he learns she is losing her memory, he sets out to help her find it again. Wilfred collects everyone's impressions of the word memory and brings Miss Nancy gifts suggesting what he has learned. He discovers memories are warm, make you cry or laugh, and are as precious as gold. Miss Nancy accepts Wilfred's gifts and finds her memory, spinning stories for him of places and people important in her life. It is a timeless connection to the power of kindness and a reminder that every person, no matter how young or old, has value. It's a right-to-life story of the best kind. third. The Other Side, a children's picture book by Jacqueline Woodson, E.B. Lewis illustrator, published in 2001, addresses racism in a story to which young children can relate. My perspective, deeply rooted in personal faith, suggests books that address the issue in age-appropriate ways well serve the future of our country and our children. Woodson's poignant story takes place somewhere in the South, most probably sometime in the 1950s. It's summertime, and two little girls, one black and one white, live on opposite sides of a fence. One both their mamas have said not to cross. The lure of friendship intervenes, and the girls go from sitting on the fence to crossing the fence, and finally to saying that, quote, someday somebody's going to knock this fence down, unquote. It's a story of kindness, friendship, and social justice. I lived in Montgomery, Alabama, in the sixth grade, and bore witness to the hate-filled consequences of racism. Some 66 years later, the country I love continues to bear witness to the hate-filled consequence of racism. We can do better, and there are good stories for children that help to share a different narrative. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 reads, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Lastly, I commend to you a story by Patricia McLaughlin, Mike Wimmer illustrator, published in 1994, that speaks to this verse. It calls us to books, music, art, big ideas and experiences, bringing children home in ways that inform the best of lives. All the Places to Love is a story of connections between generations in a family, and connections to a place they call home. It's a place where the river, the marsh, the meadow, the field, and the barn each bring their own surprises, lovely and worthy of praise. We cannot give in to the ugliness in this world. Instead, we must find ways to give children touchstones to beauty and hope and kindness. Good books, important books, make you cry and make you laugh. They bring you closer to the best of human experience and challenge you to be better every day. Whether you are 5 or, like me, now stepping across the line of the average American life expectancy, good books provide anchors. Ralph Waldo Emerson, American poet, said, "The purpose of life is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that you have lived and lived well." I know in my heart that sharing good books with children makes a difference. Flip the narrative. Make this the guiding question. What titles should be included on our library shelves, public or personal, for young children? This is the Life Tributes column, September 6th. Arthur James Jimmy Stallings, June 27, 1928 to September 1, 2023. Arthur James Jimmy Stallings passed to his eternal home on Friday, September 1st at the age of 95. Jimmy was born June 27, 1928 to Odessa and Arthur J. Stallings at home in the Lomax community of Howard County, Texas. Jimmy was preceded in death by his wife, Louise Graham Stallings, his parents, Arthur J. and Odessa Stallings, his sister, Evelyn Stallings Adkins, and his brother, Louis Stallings. He is survived by his son, Stephen Stallings, and wife, Kathy, his two daughters, Twyla Stallings and Susan Brown and husband Mike, all of Midland. He is also survived by 3 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. The family will receive friends from 6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday, September 6th at the branch at NPW. Funeral services will be held on Thursday, September 7th at 12 p.m. at St. Luke's United Methodist Church. Interment will follow at 3 p.m. at Evergreen Cemetery in Stanton. The family suggests memorials be made to the Permian Basin Area Foundation in the name of Jimmy and Louise Stallings Fund. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Barbara Jane McDaniel, January 31, 1934 to September 1, 2023. Barbara Jane McDaniel was reunited with her Heavenly Father on Friday, September 1st. Jane was born on January 31, 1934 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Pete and Edith Watson. She married the love of her life, Webb McDaniel, on March 7, 1952. They resided in Richardson before moving to Midland in 1955 to raise their family and attend Crestview Baptist Church. Jane was preceded in death by her parents, husband, and brother Clinton Watson, and beloved sister-in-law Colleen Watson. Left to cherish her memory are her children, Kay Dennis Melton, Scott Carla McDaniel, Tom Charla McDaniel, and Todd Sandy McDaniel, as well as her 9 grandchildren. Memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, September 7th at Crestview Baptist Church. The family requests that remembrance be made to Crestview Baptist Church and the American Heart Association. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Loreen Spear, December 7, 1963 to September 9, 2023. Loreen Spear of Midland passed away peacefully in her home on the morning of Sunday, September 3rd. Loreen Adele Sarankiewicz was born in Three Hills, Alberta, Canada on December 7, 1963 to Henry and Bertha Sarankiewicz. Her family and friends miss her dearly. She is survived by her husband, Shane Spear, her son, Walker Spear, and his wife, Myra Spear, her son, Quinn Spear, and his wife, Elizabeth Spear, her sisters, Neva Botchinek, Jim, Sheila Bramlett, Ryan, and Cheryl Finch, and a plethora of friends and family whose lives have been touched by her generous and caring heart. A memorial ceremony will be held at Mid-Cities Community Church on Friday, September 8th at 10 a.m. In lieu of flowers, please send memorial donations to Teen Challenge Adult Centers of Texas, a local charity near and dear to Loreen's heart. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Joe Coleman. Joe Coleman, 54, of Midland, passed away August 30th. The family will receive guests from 4 to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 10th at Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, September 11th at Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Kermit Cemetery in Kermit. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Phyllis Miller Wilson Key. Phyllis Miller Wilson Key, age 83, of Midland, passed away on Friday, September 1st. A visitation for Phyllis will be held Sunday, September 10th, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home. A funeral service will be held on Monday, September 11th at 1 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy for the Key family may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com. Caleb Royce Stickle. Caleb Royce Stickle, 34, of Midland, passed away on Thursday, August 31st. Services are pending with Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. Bobby Lee Sharp. Bobby Lee Sharp, 90, of Midland, passed away September 3rd. Memorial service will be held at 3 p.m. Friday, September 8th, at Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home Chapel. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Charles E. Chuck Henry, April 9, 1947 to September 2, 2023. Charles E. Chuck Henry, 76, of Midland, passed away on Saturday, September 2nd. A visitation will be Wednesday, September 6th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home. A celebration of Chuck's life will be held at 12 p.m. Friday, September 8th, at the branch at NPW. A graveside service will take place at Rest Haven Memorial Park immediately following the service. Chuck was born to Howard and Anne Henry in Martins Ferry, Ohio, on April 9, 1947. Chuck is survived by his wife Laurel, son Charles Dylan Henry, daughter Stephanie Laurel Henry, daughter Angela Renee Robertson, Shad, and two grandchildren, and sister Judy Ann Cermak, Joe. Chuck is preceded in death by his parents, Howard and Ann Henry. Please consider making a donation to the Texas DPS Troopers Foundation. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Bobby J. Davis, August 19, 1941 to September 1, 2023. Bobby J. Davis, Tree, age 82, of Midland, passed away September 1. Bobby was born August 19, 1941 in Clarksville, Texas, to the late Wallace Eugene Davis Sr. and Catherine Hearn Davis. Bobby leaves to cherish his memory a son, Alton Davis, two daughters, Christy Prince and Kimberly Hayes, two stepsons, Carrie Love, Arlene, and John Love III. Also one brother, Wallace Eugene Davis Jr. in Virginia, two sisters, Virginia Faye Davis and Helen Robinson. He also had 10 grandchildren and many great-grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his parents, Wallace E. Davis Sr. and Catherine H. Davis, three brothers, Calvin, A.D., and Kenneth Davis. Services have been entrusted to Mayberry Funeral Home. A celebration of life will be held in the Hope Chapel at Mayberry Funeral Home in Midland on September 6th at 11 a.m. Following the service, there will be a reception at 12:30 p.m. at the Downtown Church of Christ, 505 San Angelo Street in Midland.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.